Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Richard Connolly. Coming up, as Milan fans react angrily to the departure of Kaká, we ask if the Italian league can afford to hang on to its star players. Plus, Rafael Nadal remains hopeful that he will be fit to play at Wimbledon, and the LA Lakers remain cautious despite taking a 2-0 lead against Orlando in the NBA Finals.
Orlando hasn't had a playoff finals in, what, 18 years, 16 years? You know, it's going to be a big event for their town. We know there's going to be a lot of energy that's surrounding their team.
First, though, to Italy, where fans of AC Milan are being told there will not be further departures after the sale of Kaká to Real Madrid. The Brazil international moved to the Bernabeu in one of football's most expensive ever transfers. The figure in euros, 65 million, is second only to Zinedine Zidane's transfer from Juventus to Real 8 years ago, 73 million on that occasion. So Milan have lost their coach, Carlo Ancelotti, to Chelsea and their star player to Real Madrid. We've been asking Mark Meadows, who's in Milan for Reuters, if more big names could follow.
There's been lots of reports that Ancelotti wants to take Alessandro Pato, the striker, with him to Chelsea, and maybe also Andrea Pirlo. And Pato was quoted in the papers this morning as saying he'd like to speak to Ancelotti before he decides what he'll do in the future. Not necessarily saying he wants to go to Chelsea, but just that Ancelotti was the coach that brought him to Milan, so he'd like to talk to him to see what's going to happen in the future for Milan and for Chelsea. I think it's doubtful that Milan would be willing to let go of any more of their best players, having let Kaká go for such a big sum of money. They've said publicly that no one else will leave. But we'll have to see how it pans out in the coming week.
What about the bigger picture in Serie A? Are the players likely to leave other clubs?
Well, Ibrahimovic, the Inter Milan striker, is the main one who has expressed his frustration with Italian football. He said he's won everything in Italian football, and yet he hasn't made a mark in the Champions League because Inter have never made a mark in the Champions League, and he kind of is eyeing teams like Barcelona, obviously the Champions League holders now, as a place maybe where he can fulfil the remaining dreams of his career.
Here we have clubs in Spain and England being able to flex their financial muscle. Does this signify a financial decline in Italian football?
Yes, I think so, because they are struggling because they aren't getting the revenues in from owning their own stadiums and because the tax laws are a bit more restrictive here.
Mark Meadows of Reuters was speaking to the BBC's Orin Gordon there. In the last hour, the former Brazil and Chelsea manager Luis Felipe Scolari has been named as the new coach of the champions of Uzbekistan, Bunyodkor. The 60-year-old has agreed an 18-month contract. He succeeds his fellow Brazilian Zico, who led the side to the Ligue 1 Cup double and the semi-finals of the Asian Champions League last year, before quitting in December to join CSKA Moscow. The English Football Association have decided they will open the gates to Wembley for Wednesday's World Cup qualifier, that despite concerns that fans will struggle to get to the ground because of a strike on the London Underground. Wembley, which has a capacity of 90,000, does rely heavily on the tube network to get supporters in and out of the stadium. The match against Andorra could have been played behind closed doors to avoid the anticipated travel difficulties. But the England coach Fabio Capello is pleased there will be some atmosphere for the game.
I'm very, very happy because I played once without supporters. It's terrible. It's not a game. It's worse than the training. And we are very happy for the FA decision to support the players.
Also in football on the BBC, the India captain has been suspended by his club for 6 months. Baichung Bhutia had missed training and a friendly match for his club side to take part in a TV celebrity dance competition. The club demanded an explanation, but Bhutia refused to provide one and accused them of questioning his commitment. Now, the world's number one tennis player, Rafael Nadal, still intends to defend his Wimbledon title. That's despite knee problems, which forced him to pull out of the Wimbledon warm-up event at Queen's Club. Philip Studd is there for us. Philip, Nadal has issued a statement today. What did he have to say?
Well, I think the key line of that statement, Richard, is that Nadal says, "I will not go out and play on any court, let alone centre court at Wimbledon, if I'm not 100%. Now, clearly, he's got very limited time to get back into full fitness after, as you say, withdrawing from this tournament here in Queens, which I'm watching over the course of the next few days. He says that he won't be picking up a racket. It's all about intensive recuperation. He's going to have physiotherapy treatments to work on these specific problems which he's got in both knees, which is clearly a cause for concern for his legion of fans. But he wants to do everything he can to get 100% fit. In fact, he said, and I quote, "I'm going to be working 200% to be 100% fit." So there you are. If there's any chance of Nadal defending his title at the All England Club in a couple of weeks' time, you can be sure he'll be there.
And you've been watching the action on the grass at Queen's today. Who stood out for you?
The biggest surprise today is the fact that the rain has held off here in southwest London. The forecast was bordering on the atrocious, but we haven't seen any precipitation thus far. We've seen some good tennis, though, and no real surprises. Andy Roddick, a four-time champion at Queen's Club. Grass, of course, is his favourite surface. He came through in straight sets today, as did his fellow American James Blake over Ivan Ljubicic of Croatia, and a former French Open champion, the veteran Juan Carlos Ferrero, also won through today.
Philip, thank you. To Cricket's World 2020, where Pakistan have taken the last place in the second round by beating the Netherlands at Lord's. The Dutch upset the hosts England in the opening game of the tournament, but fell well short of the target they needed to qualify. Reporting from Lord's, here's Mark Pugach.
So Holland's bid to reach the Super 8 ends, and in truth they panicked a bit when faced with a target of 151, which would have taken them through on the net run rate. It was the Pakistani spinners who did the damage, taking 8 of the wickets. Shahid Afridi bamboozled the Dutch batsman in taking 4 for 11, and Kamran Akmal, the wicketkeeper, pulled off 4 stumpings. Pakistan's 175 for 5 was about par for the course. Akmal top scored with 41, and the Dutch stuck well to their task in the field. Sadly for them, though, their batting could come nowhere near their heroics against England on Friday night, and the Dutch go out.
So with Pakistan safely through, the most notable absentee from the next stage of the tournament is Australia, who were knocked out after defeats to both West Indies and Sri Lanka. The Sri Lankan captain, Mahela Jayawardena, doesn't believe the tournament's devalued by the absence of the world's leading test and one-day nation.
No, not really. I think 2020 cricket is all about teams adjusting and hitting that right tone at the right time. We knew that we were in a tough group. Australia, West Indies and us, obviously one of the teams has to pack our bags and go home. So we're glad that it's not us. But I don't think it undermines, because there are some quality teams in this tournament who are playing some really good cricket. So it's going to be exciting the next week and a half.
The India batsman Virendra Sehwag has been ruled out of the rest of the World 2020 with a shoulder injury. He will now return home for further treatment. The Indian selectors have named wicketkeeper batsman Dinesh Kartik as a replacement, although the call-up does need to be ratified by the International Cricket Council. Lastly, to basketball here on the BBC, and the NBA finals continue later on Tuesday with the Orlando Magic in desperate need of their first win of the series. They trail the Los Angeles Lakers by 2-0 ahead of the first of 3 games in a row on their home court. Only 3 teams in history have come from 2-0 down to win the NBA championship, although the Miami Heat did manage it 3 years ago. Nevertheless, the Lakers coach Phil Jackson does expect the Magic to be much tougher to beat in Orlando.
You know, it's going to be a big event for their town. We know there's going to be a lot of energy that's surrounding their team. We're going to have to play in a situation where, you know, we're going to have to use all our centers, you know, foul situations. And I think that that's where they're going to be best at running and fast breaking and transition game. I think they'll be much better. Usually teams are on their home floor.
Before we go, our top story once again. In Italy, AC Milan fans are said to be both sad and angry at the sale of Kaká, a big crowd favourite at the San Siro. The 27-year-old Brazilian forward joined Real Madrid from Milan in one of football's most expensive transfers ever, the figure in euros, €65 million. Plenty more on our website. That is BBC.